This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Monday, which means it's time for First and 10 with your host, Vinny Bonsignor.
What is up, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to for all Raider news and analysis. I'm Vinny Bonsignor. I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review Journal, and we're going to be here every single Monday talking about everything under the sun as it relates to the Raiders. And boy, I'll tell you what, we're 2 weeks out from training camp, supposedly. Keep my fingers crossed when I say that, but it means that the season is creeping up. And again, we're going to be here every Monday. Hopefully there's some games to soon talk about. We'll keep you posted about all of that. But really excited to be here. And you guys know the drill. If you need to hit me up, I'm at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter and VBonsignor at ReviewJournal.com. So hit me up whenever you want. Ask me questions, criticism, praise, whatever the case might be. I'm all ears and I'm here for you. As usual, we've got a lot to talk about. Some breaking news, not necessarily breaking news quite yet, but something that popped up on everybody's radar and crossed everybody's timeline last week, and we're going to get into that. But before we do get started, just want to let you know that we are presented by Favor Shot.
It's okay. It's all right. Is that what you want
to
hear?
Welcome back, Raider Nation, to Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to for Raiders news and analysis. I'm Vinny Bonsignor, your host. And you know what? Some interesting news kind of popped up last week, and no doubt it crossed your timeline and landed on your radars, but it had to do with the Raiders, your Las Vegas Raiders, and a very talented, dynamic, free agent defensive end by the name of Jadeveon Clowney. I know everyone knows who Jadeveon Clowney is, and I know that you probably know that he's a free agent, and he's been kind of lingering out there on the market for quite some time. He's basically not getting the money that he thinks he deserves. And I think that, you know, teams are beginning to fall off as far as their pursuit of him, and it's left the Raiders and a couple of other teams in a pretty decent position to add a really dynamic player for a fraction of what it probably would have cost or what he thinks that he's worth. And I know that the Raiders are interested. I can confirm that. But it's going to be more along the lines of their number rather than what he was seeking. They're not going to throw a boatload of money his way, at least not what he was originally asking for. But at the right price, and I think this is where the Raiders are, you run. You don't walk, but you run to bring in a dynamic talent like Jadeveon Clowney. And what's working in the Raiders' favor is that other teams are beginning to fall off. We saw that the Cleveland Browns reworked the contract of defensive end Oliver Vernon, and it presumably takes them out of the Clowney running. There was a lot of talk between the Browns and Clowney. It seemed like a good fit. The Browns had some money. They had a need, but by re-signing or at least reworking Vernon's contract, I think that takes them out of the running. And it leaves the Raiders, like I said, in a pretty decent position now to maybe swoop in. And here's my position: at the right price, you definitely bring in a Jadeveon Clowney. He means that much. He's that dynamic of a player. And I know, I get it. People are saying, but Vinny, you know, he only had 3 sacks last year. I get it. I understand that. But if you're using sacks as your barometer in the year 2020 to determine the value of a defensive end, you're just using the wrong statistics. Yes, it's important. And yes, he gets his share of sacks. He didn't quite get as many as he normally does last year with the Seattle Seahawks. But more importantly, if you're really looking at what a defensive end's value is, you look at pressures, and he had 48 of those last year. That's a high number. He's an elite, not just a good, but an elite run defender. He's one of two defensive ends, edge-setting defensive ends last year that graded over 90 in run defense, according to Pro Football Focus. That's elite. That's what you're looking for, and that's worth a lot of money. And you know, the disruption that he causes in that run game is absolutely devastating, and it wreaks so much havoc, and it helps the rest of your defensive line, and it helps the rest of your defensive end. If you look at pass rush, okay, among edge rushers, he was seventh in win rate on pass rush. What does that mean? Well, when you're able to get off your block in 2.5 seconds, within that 2.5 second range, more often than not, and he was seventh in the league in that, that means you're winning the majority of your battles in that situation. And as a result, that's where your 48, quarterback pressures come into play. And also the fact that he eats up double teams. He gets double teamed a lot. That helps everyone else on the defensive line. If you look at the Seattle Seahawks pass rush last year, they were markedly better when Clowney was on the field compared to when he wasn't. Their sacks were up. Their pass rush pressure was way up when he was on the field compared to when he wasn't. So he has an impact when you're talking about the run game and the pass rush game. And that's what the Raiders need. And here's the thing. We all know that the Raiders play the best quarterback in the NFL right now, Patrick Mahomes, twice a year. And history has shown, and the San Francisco 49ers nearly pulled this off last year in the Super Bowl, the best way to slow down a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes is to get as much pressure on him as possible from your front four defensive players. Why? Because, number one, you're able to do it with just those four guys. That means seven other defensive players, your linebackers, your cornerbacks, your safeties, all your defensive backs, they're able to now drop back in pass coverage. And you're able to flood the zones. You're able to play man-on-man coverage. You're able to make life difficult for the quarterback on that back end. But more importantly, by creating pressure up front, it might not lead to sacks all the time. But if you're forcing him out of comfort zone positions, if you're tipping passes, if you're having him throw off balance, all of a sudden that leads to turnovers. It leads to incompletions. It just helps you against a quarterback like that. And you've looked at the 49ers. They had a dynamic front four last year. And for three quarters, they had Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs on the run. They led that game going into the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl. Mahomes did Mahomes things in the fourth quarter, and they won. But the point is, they made life that's how you make life difficult. The Giants showed that, against the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. They were able to get pressure up front from their four defensive linemen, let everyone else drop back in pass coverage, made life difficult for Tom Brady, and won two Super Bowls as underdogs against Tom Brady and the Patriots. So for me, adding a player like Jadeveon Clowney makes a ton of sense. And I know also, I've been hearing this as well on Twitter, well, it's an indictment on Cleveland Farrell. The Raiders made a mistake drafting him fourth overall. Their interest in Clowney is an obvious signal that they're not happy with Farrell. Stop, all right? Full stop. Adding a Clowney is not in lieu, and it's not an indictment on Farrell. He would come as an addition to, and all of a sudden you start looking in that defensive line, Clowney, Farrell, Max Crosby, Malik Collins, and we're going to talk about him a little bit later on, kind of an underrated, under-the-radar acquisition that the Raiders made, a defensive tackle. You start, Carl Nassib, you start talking about the pass rush ability now that they're able to throw at quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes included, in a fresh, talented, deep rotation where guys are coming in and out, are fresh, are ready, are effective. They're not worn out over the course of a game. You can keep guys spry by using them in a rotation. When you add a Clowney to that, it just lengthens that depth that much more, and you could be more creative. Maybe Cleveland Farrell moves inside from time to time. So it just opens up so many doors for the Raiders. And for all of those reasons, they need to be interested in Clowney, and if there's a chance, again, you run. You don't walk. You run to reel in a talent like that.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
Welcome back, Raider fans, to Vegas Nation, First and 10, your Monday go-to for Raiders news. I'm Vinny Bonsignor, your host. I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Okay, so we've been talking about Jadeveon Clowney. I think that we're all on the same page here, right? Obviously, for the right price, you go get Jadeveon Clowney if you have a legit opportunity. The question is, all right, so how much would it cost to bring him in? And first of all, let's start with this. As of today, the Raiders have about $8 million, just over $8 million under the salary cap to play with. Now, that can always be manipulated. You can always be creative. There's flexibility, whether you're talking about cutting a player, reworking a contract. There's always ways to make up a little bit of extra money that it probably would take to bring Clowney in. Now, first and foremost, when this process started, when free agency started, Clowney was asking for $22 million. Sorry, but he's not that player. He's not Aaron Donald, and for that reason, he's not going to get $22 million, and that's why he's in the position that he's in right now, looking for a deal now that makes sense for him. I don't think he's going to get the $17 million that was reportedly offered by the Cleveland Browns to him. I don't think he's going to get $15 million a year, and if he does get $15 million a year, if I'm the Raiders, okay, I'll give you $15 million, but I need an option for next year to essentially make it a two-year commitment where I get him back next year. But short of that, I think it's going to be more along the lines of a one-year contract, probably in that $9 to $12 million range. And I think the Raiders are really well situated right now where their roster is, the work that they've done the last 3 years to upgrade across the board. This isn't 3 years ago where you sacrifice a Khalil Mack in order to bring back draft assets and then use the money that would have been earmarked for him to fill multiple holes across the roster. The Raiders have done a really good job of fixing the rosters to put themselves in a position now where you add a player like Clowney, you invest in a player like Clowney because you know that you have a lot of other holes already fixed. Granted, they have to rely on some young players, but I think that they feel really good about those young players and about what they've been able to do in free agency. When you talk about a Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski and Demarius Randall and Malik Collins and a Carl Nassib, they've done so much to help their defense. And I think they're in a good position now to add a dynamic player like Clowney. But it has to be on their terms. And what I'm thinking about is $9 to $12 million. If that can work, if you can convince him to come at that price, you go get Jadeveon Clowney.
Let's go. You got to push through it, man. It's a thinking man's game.
Welcome back, Raider fans. This is Vegas Nation, First and 10, your Monday go-to for Raiders news and analysis. I hope you had a great week since we last talked, and wishing everybody well for the week coming up. And, you know, when I look at the calendar, I always do this. Every Monday, it's July 13th. Training camp is scheduled to start, folks, on July 28th. We are 2 weeks and 1 day away, and I always say this with my fingers crossed, away from training camp starting. Now, there's a lot that needs to happen between the NFL and the Players Association. They are hammering that out as we speak in terms of protocols, training camp roster sizes, how the NFL is going to help ensure that players are safe in the training camp environment. There's a lot that needs to be done. They have to talk about money. Obviously, we all know that chances are good that we're not going to have fans, if any, or very limited amount of fans at games this season. What does that mean? Well, it means that revenue is going to go down. And if we're talking about this time next year, you're talking about the 2020 payroll being predicated on revenue that was made in 2020. So it stands to reason that everyone's going to take a big hit this year because fans are not going to be a part of it, or at least not the way they have been historically. So numbers are going to go down. And how do you fix that? What the players don't want to be in is a position where in 2021, they take a massive hit on the salary cap, and it's reflected in their salaries next year. So what they're probably going to try to do, and talking to people in the NFL, smooth it out so that the big hit doesn't happen in one fell swoop in 2021. They'll borrow from 2022. They'll borrow from 2023 when everyone is back on solid ground and you're starting to talk about revenue moving back up. They'll borrow from the future in order to make sure 2021 isn't as hard of a hit. But they have to get that all taken care of before anybody reports to training camp. So keep an eye on all that. But fact is, hopefully, training camp is going to get started here pretty soon, whether it's July 28th or shortly thereafter. And usually this time of year, what I like to do is start thinking about guys that I'm really interested in watching in training camp. And one thing about this training camp, as opposed to any other that I've ever covered, is that usually by this time you have a whole body of work to look back on during OTAs. We get to physically watch players perform. And I know there's no pads and there's no tackling, so that element is out. But typically you can see guys that can play, even in an OTA situation. I go back to Cooper Kupp a couple of years ago covering the Los Angeles Rams. He was a third-round pick, so he wasn't some can't-miss prospect. But you watched him for 1 day, 2 days in OTAs, just putting clinics on against a pretty good defensive backfield for the Rams, just destroying them every day off the line of scrimmage with tremendous footwork, separation ability, route running, intelligence. And he was just killing dudes. And after a day or two, you're like, okay, that dude can play. Straight out, that dude can play. So you do have some evidence during OTAs of guys that you can kind of count on as being productive NFL players. We don't have that luxury this year, but that doesn't mean that I'm not fired up about some guys, especially after taking a deep dive into their film work, whether it was college or their early time in the NFL. And three guys that have really jumped out at me that I really can't wait to watch in training camp is Malik Collins, the defensive tackle from the Dallas Cowboys, who the Raiders signed in free agency. I thought he was kind of flying under the radar still to this day. A bigger signing than I think a lot of fans are giving credit for. 24 years old, has a history of being able to create pass rush from the interior, which is perfect for a quarterback when you're defending a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. You collapse the pocket from the inside. Now all of a sudden you have Farrell and Max Crosby, and if they sign Jadeveon Clowney, coming from the outside wreaking havoc that way. I think Malik Collins at 24 years old has a chance to take another step. He's in that age area where he's only going to get better. He's hitting his prime. He's working with Rod Marinelli, his former defensive line coach with the Dallas Cowboys, who's now with the Raiders. I think that combination and playing alongside some other dynamic players is going to set him up for a potentially Pro Bowl caliber season, and I can't wait to watch what he brings to the table. I also go to Tanner Muse. Raiders drafted him in the third round out of Clemson. He was a safety at Clemson. He's moving to linebacker with the Raiders. And I think for that reason, a lot of people assumed, okay, he's probably going to be a special teams guy right off the bat. As he transitions into linebacker, it might take some time. I don't think it's going to take as long as people might think. At Clemson, Tanner Muse played safety, but he played a boundary position that put him heavy in the run game, so and excelled in that area for the Clemson Tigers. His safety background and the 4.39 40 speed that he flashed at the NFL scouting combine shows that he's an athlete. So he has a history in pass defense. He's going to be asked to do a lot of that at linebacker, and he brings that skill set to the table with his speed and intelligence. He's going to be lined up against tight ends, some running backs. I think he's going to be able to prove with that athletic ability and that safety background that he's going to be an asset in pass coverage in addition to what he does in the run game. And I don't think it's going to take him very long based on what he did in college and the scheme that he was in at Clemson to make that transition to linebacker. Keep an eye on Tanner Muse. And my other guy is wide receiver Bryan Edwards, another third-round pick from South Carolina. I thought the Raiders stole Bryan Edwards. In a normal draft, he would have been a first, late first, or second-round pick, but the depth at wide receiver this year was incredible in the draft. Plus, Edwards had a late-season injury and then got hurt again right before the scouting combine. It kind of sabotaged his assessment process, and for that reason, he went to the third round, much to the delight of the Raiders. But you look at Bryan Edwards, 6'3", 250 pounds, a big-bodied wide receiver who, if you watch him on tape, is a physical, tough, hard-nosed receiver that goes up and competes and gets balls. He's big and physical and is able to use his body to his advantage. He also creates space downfield. He's got enough athletic ability and enough speed to be an asset in long pass, the long pass game. But where I think he's really going to excel and where he's going to get on the field earlier than expected is using that big body as an asset in the red zone. We all know the Raiders were great last year at picking up yards. I think they had the 7th most or 11th most yards in the NFL. Where they broke down was in the red zone. They couldn't translate yards into points. They were 24th in the NFL in scoring. That's not going to get it done. And what that means or what that meant was they just bogged down in the red zone. A lot of that was schematics. A lot of that was skill level. A lot of that was not the kind of weapons that you need to be able to excel at that point in the field. A guy like Edwards with that big body becomes a go-to type of a guy if he can show that ability at this level, which I think he can. And he can become somebody that the Raiders can rely on as a red zone weapon. I think he gets on the field for that reason. And I can't wait to see what he can do in training camp. I wish I could have seen him and all the other guys that I'm talking about during OTAs. We didn't have that luxury. We have to wait till training camp whenever that starts, but I'm fired up about it. Hey, thanks a lot for listening, you guys. Really, really appreciate the engagement. Got some of you guys have been reaching out to me. I really appreciate that. We're going to be back next week, next Monday, to talk about things 1 week closer to the NFL season, hopefully, and to training camp starting. This is Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to Raiders source for news and analysis. I'm Vinny Bonsignore. Peace out.